Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. You're listening to Pastor Joe Larson, that highly unpaid professional assistant of Pastor Ernie, who's asked me to sit in for him tonight. And we're going to be playing a audio, and I believe, Andy, it's a Stu Peters. I had not had a chance to look at it when Pastor Ernie wanted to have this played tonight. And it's an interview with Dr. What was his name, Andy? Do you have that?
It is Dr. Brian Ardis.
Brian Ardis.
Yes, A-R-D-I-S.
All right, Ardis. Okay. Well, without further ado, let's see what it's, I guess right at first, Pastor Ernie said it's a little slow. It's the start of the Stu Peters show. He's doing the interview, so bear with me. We're going to be listening to this for quite a few minutes. Pastor, and he said it was very important information. So play it.
Truth, exposure, and accountability. Oh, those words just carry so much weight. It's so important. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. The 11th day of April, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. You know, this show has grown a tremendous amount over the last year. It's just so humbling. We truly are grateful to everyone who's joined us along the journey, but we're also especially grateful to those of you who were here from the very beginning. And if you were here at the beginning, you might remember the explicit promise that we made to you then. We told you that it was our goal to put ourselves out of work, to work ourselves off the air. We promised to never sell out to big pharma or globalist corporate sponsors or anybody else. And we've kept that promise. We promise to never stop fighting, to keep exposing everything until there's literally nothing left to expose. And today, we're going to air a documentary that highlights our commitment to that mission. I hope you're ready. Another thing that we've highlighted on this show many, many times is how the entire COVID control regime is built on lies, lies that have been exploded over and over again. It started with the big lie that COVID wasn't going to happen. And that it was just fear-mongering to even bring it up. Then it was the lie that masks would work and everyone had to wear them. There was the lie that children were at grave risk from this novel virus when they're basically immune. And for their safety, there was the lie that we needed to close schools but still yet allow our teachers to have unlimited access to our children via Zoom. There was the lie that for your own health, you needed to stay away from your friends and your family and your loved ones, to shut down your business. The lie to keep people away from treatments that the elites didn't approve of. The lie where they called ivermectin, a Nobel Prize-winning wonder drug, horse medicine. And then propagandized pharmacists into no longer prescribing it. And most of all, the lies about vaccines. That they were safe. That they were effective, that they were well-tested, that children and young people needed to get them, that they would stop the spread of COVID-19, that you needed a booster every few months to keep them effective, that this was a vaccine at all. The lies are everywhere, and they're always changing. And here at the Stu Peters Show, we try and dig up the truth, which is why we've welcomed a lot of guests from a wide variety of different backgrounds. We've talked with doctors, microscopy experts, whistleblowing nurses, tech entrepreneurs, and a whole lot more. One of the guests that we've spoken with is Dr. Brian Ardis. Dr. Ardis came onto our radar because of the pattern that we saw repeatedly playing out over and over again. Someone checks into the hospital, walks in under their own horsepower with a COVID diagnosis. Their condition rapidly deteriorates. They get put on a ventilator and then they die. And we wanted to know, why does this keep happening? Was it really just how COVID-19 worked, or was something wrong with our treatment protocol? And if the protocol was wrong, why couldn't we fix it? Was it accidentally wrong or intentionally wrong? And Dr. Artis was repeatedly asking himself the same thing. In early February of 2020, Dr. Artis's father-in-law was killed, murdered in 9 days by a horrific drug protocol for the diagnosis of the flu. Then a couple of weeks after the first COVID cases hit Texas, in the 3 months of grieving and frustration that followed the death of his father-in-law, Weldon, Dr. Artis discovered the alarming research studies on the failed and toxic drug called remdesivir. The drug that Anthony Fauci professed to have been proven safe and effective against the Ebola virus and against COVID-19, only to discover through his research that remdesivir was even more toxic, more dangerous than the toxic antibiotic vancomycin used to destroy the kidneys of his father-in-law. We had him on the show to talk about the drug remdesivir, about how this drug that completely failed at treating Ebola, that causes kidney failure, renal failure, that costs a boatload of money and that has a direct link to Tony Fauci, how that drug became the drug of choice in the COVID hospital protocol. It was a great discussion, but Dr. Artis wasn't done. He continued to look for the full truth about COVID. And just a few weeks ago, he called me. He said, "Stu, I need to meet with you in person." We'd never met in person before. He said that it was urgent. He didn't want to send the information electronically. He said the information related to the origins of COVID-19, where it came from, what it really is, who's really responsible. He said that with that information he had, everything about COVID would come together. How they track it, how the CDC predicts hotspots, how people fall ill, how people die from COVID-19. I was skeptical. As I always do, I said I needed to see some evidence. Well, we had our in-person meeting, and soon you'll be hearing what I heard. All I will say now is that my mind was blown, legitimately. I wasn't even sure how to respond except for one thing. I knew the entire world needed to hear what Dr. Artis was saying. And after praying on the topic, I knew that Dr. Artis had to fly to Minnesota again for a special documentary-length interview to bring all of this information before the public. And so we did that. We held that interview, and for the past few weeks, we've been going through more than 4,000 pages of documents, some provided by Dr. Artis, some that we've gathered on our own, all of which support his theory. And all I can say here is the more that we ask questions, the harder that we tried to fact check all of this away, the more our doubts started to feel unreasonable. We know that it's taken a while for this documentary to come out, but since we filmed that interview, that's at the center of this documentary, I got swatted. I can't prove it, but I suspect these events are connected. We had to decentralize our production process to make sure that if they took out me or Dr. Artis or one of our editors, that it wouldn't stop this from coming out. It's that important. We had other issues. One of our editors was so distressed by the information in this documentary that they became ill. Another woke up in the middle of the night feeling like some external force was suffocating him, like some kind of a demonic attack. And maybe that sounds too wild to believe, but I want to say something. The way Dr. Artis had described how he started his investigation, all of the circumstances and coincidences that guided him down this path, I am convinced, and Brian believes, that God has helped guide him through the research process. Maybe that sounds sappy, but it shouldn't. Because the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual battle, more so than physical. This isn't a fight over policy. There is a war being waged in heaven, a war of good versus evil, and that means God versus Satan, being played out right here on earth for all of us to witness. Recently, Dr. Zev Zelenko spoke with us. He made an incredible sounding claim. He said that he'd heard from someone who would know that Dr. Artis is the number one doctor that Pfizer wants silenced. Silenced forever. After creating this documentary, all we have to say is that if Dr. Artis really is at the top of an assassination list, we're not surprised. And we think after watching this that you will probably agree. But before we start, though, we wanted to give you a chance to hear a few things from Dr. Artis, and he joins us now. Dr. Artis, thank you for coming, and thank you so much for your bravery.
Stu, it's an honor to be here. I just want to say on behalf of the entire world and you, thank you, everyone who's put any faith and trust in me to be able to convey truth. There is no part of me who brought this information to Stu and started any of this research to create fear and panic. In fact, this is going to, I pray, bring light to all of those practitioners around the world who have already been right. And I want to convey that right now. Dr. Pierre Corey, you were right. Dr. Paul Merrick, you were right. Dr. Ben Marble and Zev Zelenko, you were right. Simone Gold, you were correct. Sherry Timpany, you were right. Everything you're about to learn in this documentary and all the research that I've actually conducted, Dr. Ryan Cole will be able to finally conclude why it is the findings under the slides, under a microscope, have become so monumentally evil. The amount of carnage and disease and death is unparalleled in history. This is the only reason why I'm bringing this to light. I pray that your heart, souls, and minds will be open to truth and know where to go from here to protect your loved ones, your children, your grandparents, your parents, all those you love. I love you. And may God bless everyone on the earth.
So earlier this month, a lot of you may remember a post that I made on my Telegram channel. There was a lot of concern about the water and not to drink it. And there were certain things that I could say and could not say. And I referenced that certain people's lives might be at risk. And one of those people is here with me now, Dr. Brian Artis. Thanks a lot for being here.
I do really appreciate the opportunity to do this. Yeah, this is actually going to be the only time I've ever been nervous in any interview. I'm not kidding. Like, I've never been nervous to discuss anything in relationship to the COVID pandemic whatsoever. But this has bothered me and has scared me.
Putting things out is probably oftentimes the best way to protect yourself. But people have lost their lives over what you're about to tell the world.
I have to get this off my chest. My spirit's like screaming to say something and bring it to the forefront. To protect as many innocent lives as possible. That's all I've been trying to do since May of 2020. As you know, when I read Anthony Fauci's memo on remdesivir, when I actually just hyperlinked, clicked the links to the studies that he was quoting saying that remdesivir was safe and effective, I knew right away that he was lying. I knew right away that this drug was going to be used to mass murder a whole bunch of innocent people in America that did not need to die. Then he was going to sell the world on the idea in the media that they were dying of a virus, when in fact I knew they were being poisoned to death with this drug. I knew 30% of all people were going to experience multiple organ failure, kidney failure, septic shock, and hypotension. That's what the studies said. Now we're a year and a half after that, and it's exactly the numbers that I said based on those studies. I'm pretty much called the remdesivir guy everywhere I go, which is odd for a retired chiropractor to be referenced as a pharmaceutical guy. But it is true, remdesivir is a very toxic, deadly drug. There are a lot of medical doctors and professionals who will mention it that as it's just proven to be ineffective. It is not ineffective. It is very toxic and deadly. It is known and proven to actually injure specific organs in your body. It targets specific organs. This is a part of why I think my spirit is so moved to make sure this gets out, is that... January. January 21st of this year, so just 2 months ago, the FDA decided to authorize remdesivir as the only drug to be authorized to be used in all newborns in this country. I cannot even fathom the men or women in charge that would actually do that. So it's now been moved since January 21st of 2022. It's been moved out of hospitals as the only drug to be used, only allowed in hospitals this entire pandemic. Now they're moving it into in and out of hospital care for children as young as newborns 7 pounds heavy through the 18-year pediatric age range. It's the only authorized drug. There is nothing else that they're allowing for COVID-19 treatment. And I find that incredibly evil. And then they've also now canceled monoclonal antibody uses throughout the United States and all U.S. territories for COVID-19 early treatment, and they're moving remdesivir to the infusion centers where they were using monoclonal antibodies as the only IV infusion drug allowed.
I have been moved with one singular purpose since May of 2020. When I read Anthony Fauci's memo about Remdesivir, I felt this spark inside of me that I now had to go voice to the world a warning to try to protect as many innocent lives as possible from being killed. So let's talk about what happened. It all started with a text. There's a medical doctor that I admire and love because he is nonstop from the beginning of COVID, has had the ability to project information and say to people around the world, you do not have to fear COVID. We have an answer. This guy has been on many stages with me. He still practices right now medicine and is an ER doc, and he sent me a text. It actually was dated December 1st, and I did not see it until like December 18th. I don't know how I didn't see it, but the text read, hey, Dr. Artis, if you got bit by a rattlesnake, would you go to a hospital and get antivenom? And I realized when I saw him that he must have saw an interview I did on InfoWars. So Kate Daly did an interview with me and wanted to go over my thoughts of monoclonal antibodies. Well, I had been given some research studies that actually bothered me. I didn't like the idea based on the data in these research studies. I didn't think monoclonal antibodies were safe. Long term. Not short term, but long term. Right. Now, I read the actual text message, got in the shower, and while I was in the shower, I was sitting there thinking, why would he send me that text? It has nothing to do with COVID. Like, zero. Nothing to do with COVID. So I'm going through this, and I'm thinking about the text, and all my brain keeps going to is, why is he mentioning, wouldn't I go get antivenom? Is there something about antivenom I don't know? So I actually got out of the shower, went and got on the internet, and I wanted to know, what is it, antivenom? Only to find out that most antivenoms are monoclonal antibodies or polyclonal antibodies. And then I got it. Then I knew why he sent it to me. He wanted me to immediately see a question that he knew I would say, of course I would. If I got bit by a rattlesnake, of course I'm going to go to the hospital and get antivenom. So in his mind, I think he knew this was a way, or God inspired him to send me this message, that Dr. Artis would be able to relate yes to the answer, then go figure out why it is he would say yes. Okay, this is where it all started. I will repeat what Steve Kirsch said to an audience with me last month. He said, if the CDC says something to do, you do the opposite. If the NIH says to do something, go the opposite. FDA, do the opposite. I'm sitting there realizing that antivenom is monoclonal antibodies, and then I immediately revert back to, in my own head, I'm not trusting anything the CDC, NIH, or FDA says. Is our federal health agencies, are they recommending monoclonal antibodies for COVID-19? Now, this is in the middle of December. No, they're not.
Right.
They've been bad-mouthing monoclonal antibodies this whole time.
They stripped them out of Florida when DeSantis wanted to use them.
And then January 21st of this year, they totally stripped out monoclonal antibodies. They do not want you touching monoclonal antibodies. They also didn't want you from the beginning to touch hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
They also don't want you touching ivermectin. Mm-hmm. They also don't want you touching NAC.
Yes.
And acetylcysteine. So the things they tell you to avoid, we know they're telling you to avoid because they work. So when I realized that the federal health agencies actually were not supporting monoclonal antibodies, I mean, in an instant, I realized I was wrong.
Right.
That the CDC, NIH, and the FDA are bad-mouthing monoclonal antibodies for a reason. They know they work.
And we believe that this is because they want people intentionally to not recover.
Absolutely certain.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Oh, no, this is a... This actually got way more evil for me since I read that text than even before I read the text. I cannot believe the amount of evil behind this pandemic with what I've realized since then. I realized all of a sudden that monoclonal antibodies are antivenom. The federal government doesn't want us using antivenom. Why are they bashing antivenom, and why are we finding antivenom works against COVID? Is it not a virus? Is it a venom? Like, this is what I want to know. Like, is COVID a venom, and this is why they don't want you using monoclonal antibodies?
I mean, that sounds completely insane as a theory.
It is completely insane.
I mean, how would the masses be infected by snake bites?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you believe the mass media is controlled?
Of course.
You actually do believe that?
Yes.
So you believe that whatever's being pumped out in the media is being orchestrated and controlled?
Of course.
Like across all of it?
Across all of it.
Okay, good. All right, so in my head, I was like, okay, how do they keep people on that story? So there's this mass media group who are telling a huge story. They're all telling the same story around the world. Whenever anybody says anything against that narrative, what do they use now to combat that in the mainstream media?
Disinformation.
Yeah, they call them fact checkers.
Yeah, fact checkers, yeah.
Fact checking is the opposite of fact checking.
The arbiters of lies are the fact checkers.
By definition, fact checkers are to divert you from truth and take you back to a narrative you're being sold worldwide.
Right.
If it's true, that COVID could actually be snake venom. And how I got there was they don't support the use of anti-venom called monoclonal antibodies
right. Because
they work. The easiest way to figure that out is, has that ever been fact-checked? And I wanted to know, was there ever any mention that the source could have been a snake?
And?
Oh my God. I couldn't believe it. Over and over and over in the media in January and February of 2020 are nonstop publications that the original source could either be from bats, snakes, or pangolins. And every time the snake is mentioned, fact checkers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, constantly fact check it and spin it to the bats. There's no fact checking about bats. They keep letting you look at bats. In the beginning, in January of 2020, the scientist inside of China said this can't be from these bats. These bats hibernate and it's the winter. When they did genetic sequences from the antibodies in the people who were sick in Wuhan, they found that their genetic sequence was not most like bats. They were most like two snakes. Proteins from the Chinese crate and the king cobra. Then I find in April of 2020, there's a research study published in France where they're finding that the receptors in the brain called nicotinic acetylcholinesterase receptors, that these are actually bound most tightly to snake venom of crate and cobra is what they're finding, and that the spike protein from SARS-CoV-2 is most identical to Chinese crate and king cobra venom. Then I find out that there's an actual doctor who works at the University of Pittsburgh. Listen, in May.
This is insane right here.
In May of 2020.
Yeah.
Works in a computational lab dealing with genetic sequencing. And he's been researching for 5 months. Sequencing of spike proteins. Yeah. Trying to solve the mystery of SARS-CoV-2 victims. And he says he's got a big thing to... big press release. They're going to actually announce all their findings. And Bing Liu is his name.
Set back in the quest to understand coronavirus after a researcher is shot and killed. 37-year-old Bing Liu was on the verge of making significant findings on COVID-19.
And that's when I freaked out. Also, all of the clippings in the media when they interview his boss, who is still at the University of Pittsburgh. Last name is Bahar. Every time he was interviewed, he said that they were going to publish the work they found through Bing Liu's work in their department. That's never been published. I'd like to know why. A year and a half later, that's never been published.
A year and a half now.
Where is it? And then all of a sudden, the realization came that this is the great lie. When I say that they have lied to you about everything in relationship to COVID, they've even lied about the viral part of COVID. Now, you have to understand here, my entire stance for the last year and a half has been to educate, warn people about hospital protocols because of a drug called remdesivir.
Right.
So, in this realization that this could all be related to venom, something bothered me in the January 21st EUA that came out from the FDA about remdesivir. In this 42-page document, it actually says there's only one drug that cannot be co-administered with remdesivir at the same time because it negates the antiviral properties of remdesivir, and that drug is hydroxychloroquine. In 2020, January, there's this incredible study that's published where there's been over like a 10-year period where a company has been funding a research study gene mapping all the genes of the venoms and proteins and peptides inside of king cobra venom. And in January 2020, they published their findings. Oh, ask me if I was shocked when I saw that it was 19 toxic venom proteins that they isolated that specifically target organs in your body. So I go to the funding part of this study, and I want to know, well, who funded this and how many companies? It says that the majority of the company's funding and studies funding came from a company called Genentech. Genentech is a subsidiary of a company called Roche. I don't know anything about these companies. I never even heard of them. The employees of Genentech, who were the authors of this study, said they have a conflict of interest because they actually hold shares and stocks in Roche. And all I did was go like this. This is not a joke. I was like, Genentech? I've never heard of Genentech. Is there a correlation between Genentech and Gilead? This is not a joke. I typed it on the internet. Is there a connection to Genentech and Gilead? Oh my God. Gilead bought two facilities that deal with biological studies from Genentech in 2011 and then brought 55 of their executives into Gilead in 2011, just when that King Cobra study started.
Okay, we're going to stop there, and there's quite a bit more, and I think I'll let it ride and let Pastor Ernie Sanders, if he wants, go over the end of that. But there was some information that he wanted out there to you. I'm thinking several things here. Give me a moment. But one of them is the Lord always wants you to have knowledge and have understanding and wants you to have truth. And if you look at chapter 33 in Ezekiel, God set watchmen. And he talks about, he set these watchmen to warn the people. And he said, if the watchman doesn't send the warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. He's talking about if there's a sword, something dangerous comes on the land, that the watchman is supposed to warn the people. And at the sound of the trumpet, you know, the people are to listen to the warning. Now, the watchman can't always guarantee that what he sees, but he warns the people anyway. It looks like an army, a cloud of dust. It may turn out to be something different, but the whole concept was we were to be watchmen, in this case, over the house of Israel, over the church of God, and we are to warn the people, warn of danger or warn of sin, which we try to do on this ministry. This COVID thing is a physical danger, but the biggest danger, of course, is spiritual, and the spiritual comes from the wages of sin, our death, and it's that sin in mankind. And we've got just 1 minute, but Scripture tells us several things, and one in Ecclesiastes 9, there is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. There is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back with plenty more.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you.
Sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. Catch my breath here. I was wondering where there are so many things that I wanted to get out tonight, and sometimes it's amazing. You wonder how you can fill 2 hours on the radio, and other times you go, I wish I had 4 hours. There's so many things that I wanted to tell people. One of the things we started tonight, we talked a little bit about some of the things the government has become the enemy of the people. Our economic crisis made by the government. The mess at the border caused by the government. the Democrat government. They are letting in millions of people. Why? They're hoping they'll be future voters. They're giving away all kinds of money in the federal budgets, in the Green New Deal. They're trying to buy votes and secure solidity, Democratic Party. They are doing everything they can to stay in control, to complete the total transformation of America that Barack Obama said that he was going to bring. He wanted the total transformation of America. And the trouble is, few people ask what that meant. We've been a constitutional republic based on the rule of law, laws that were based on Ten Commandments of God, the teaching of the New Testament. So what did he want to transform us to? Well, socialist communist state, member of the One World Order. And the main thing that they have attacked is through the culture war. The culture war was using every element of the culture, from radio, television, movies, you name it, would all be used, advertising, everything, to change the culture. Clear back, there was a place called the Frankfurt University. It was called the Institute for Social Research. They called it the Frankfurt School. It was the creator of the culture war, or what's called cultural Marxism, a new form of Marxism where they were going to destroy Western civilization. And to destroy Western civilization, they had to do two things. They had to destroy the traditional moral values. And if they could reduce those values, the sexual morals that we have, the family, God, family, country, if they could do that, they could destroy Western civilization, Western culture, and they could foment the communist revolution. And this whole procedure was called cultural Marxism. And just before World War I, a lot of the cultural Marxists all left Germany and came to the United States. And they took up positions, some in Hollywood, some in, a lot of them were psychiatrists, psychologists, understanding human behavior. Anyway, it's a long, long story. We've done it many times, but the idea was, first thing they wanted to do was bring sex into the public school system, to make a long story short. That would start on the breakdown of the family, then they would gradually, you don't want to listen to all those old moral standards that God, all that myth that God has these, you can't this, can't that, all those cannot, must not, shall nots, It's been a long, gradual movement to where we are today. And I was looking at some of the headlines. Washington State, there in Oregon, teaching kindergartners, there are many ways to express your gender. The new Oregon standards require 8-year-olds to define sexual orientation. The public schools in Washington State and Oregon are teaching topics related to gender identity to children as young as 5. And when they get into gender identity, of course, they start talking about sex, right? And we noticed this big brouhaha with Disney fighting this Governor DeSantis in Florida, and how Disney is going woke, and a lot of stockholders are upset. People are selling their stock in Disney. People are telling Disney that they are no longer going to be bringing their children to Disneyland or Disney World, whatever. And I was wondering about that, and I saw this on Fox News. The Disney heir comes out as a transgender, criticizing the Florida law. Yeah. Charlie Disney is the heir, and he is a transsexual. Mm-hmm. He came out as a transgender at a human rights campaign in March. They were holding their annual meeting in Los Angeles, a big fundraiser, and he said they were going to donate $250,000. They can match that amount in the room. And so now we know one of the big reasons that Disney gone woke, the heir to the Disney fortune, is a tranny or a transsexual. Transgender, I guess. Transgender, get the wording right. But I thought that was very interesting. It did explain a lot of things. And then I saw this, and I had to get this out. In Boston, there's a Brook Charter School in the Roselandale neighborhood. And the headline from the Western Journal reads, first grade teacher tells kids about being trans, says doctors just guess what gender a baby is when they're born. So there's a video, identity share up on Zoom, with a session with a group of kindergartners through second grade. And it was put on Twitter Sunday. And sponsored by the account Libs of TikTok. And it's recounting a story of a Miss Hammond, possibly the assistant principal there at the Brook Charter School, named Sarah Hammond, and giving children a fact. She said, "Something that's really cool and unique about who I am is that I'm transgender." Skyer, the name of the person on the video, told the, kindergarten through second graders. So we touched a little bit about the beginning of the week in the book that Miss Hammond read. I'm going to give my explanation of what it means to be transgendered. So when babies are born, the doctor looks at them and they make a guess about whether the baby is a boy or girl based on what they look like. Duh, yeah. And most of that time, the guess is right. There are issues. Sometimes the doctor is wrong. When the doctor makes the correct guess, that's when a person is cisgender. Remember, we're talking to kindergartners who are still trying to figure out how to tie their shoes and dress themselves. Now, it goes on, when the doctor's guess is wrong, that's when they are transgender. So, I'm a man, but when I was a baby, the doctors told my parents I was a girl. And so my parents gave me a name that girls typically have and bought me clothes that girls typically wear. And till I was 18 years old, everyone thought I was a girl, Skyler explained. And this was super, super uncomfortable for me because I knew that wasn't right. The way I like to describe it is like wearing a super itchy sweater. The longer you wear it, the itchier it gets. And the only way to make the itching stop is to have everyone and see and know the person that you really are. So when I was 18, I told my family and friends that I'm really a boy. And it was like this huge weight had been lifted off my shoulders, and I had the freedom to be who I truly am. And even though this experience is super challenging, it made me the person I am, and I'm super proud to be transgendered. Telling little children that the doctors have to take a guess. The doctor looks and makes a guess at what the sex is. And we know from Scripture, God made them male and female. He made them. Made them male and female, so what? They were to go out and fill the earth. If we go back to the very first book in Genesis, we go back and we try to understand God's purpose. The people were supposed to go and what? Fill the earth. Let's see if I can find it. And here it is in Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden and put, the man in it. And the Lord God said it was not good for man to, in verse 18, to be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And he you know, made woman out of what? The rib. And it said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The two shall become one. Yeah, the two shall become one. And if I back up a little, in the sixth day God said, let us make man in our, God, think about this, God in our image after our likeness, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over the earth, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. So the two, male and female, were to come together, become as one, and what? Have children and replenish the earth, fill the earth. Now, God, who created everything, would know what he's doing. He knew before he created, he knew the end of the story before he ever made the creation, because God exists in all times and in all places. He is there before the beginning, and he is there after the end. He knew the end of the story before he created the beginning of it. He doesn't make mistakes. God is perfection. Whatever he wills happens. It is created exactly how, when, that he desires. So he purposely said male and female, and there are some people that are confused because of culture, because of family, environment, who all knows or what they're exposed to. But we have this horrible thing going on where our children are being, from kindergarten up, deceived, lied to, and then they're encouraged. And we know for a fact that most of these children, 80, 90-something percent of them, if they're just left alone, figure everything out, solve the problem for themselves. But we have a government that is bent on changing society, changing our nation, changing our way of life. And to change everything, they want to control the children. In fact, just a couple quick quotes. Go back to and I'm looking through a couple things here. Bear with me, trying to find the one I wanted. Christianity is our foe. This is Peter Singer, and he was a professor there at Yale or Harvard, I can't remember which. Christianity is the foe. And as we take a look of these things, we look back, education was always a way to control the country, control. The feminist author, Patricia Warren, boldly declared to today's gay and lesbian community, it's the first fact of civilization that whoever captures the kids owns the future. Way back in the book Science of Power, Benjamin Kidd wrote, oh, you blind leaders who seek to convert the world by labor disputations, step out of the way or the world will fling you aside. Give us the young, and we will create a new mind and a new earth in a single generation. Yeah. Ross Finney was a PhD, and he wrote A Sociological Philosophy of Education. and says everything depends on passing out the expert opinions of the social scientists to the masses of the people, and the schools, particularly the schools, are the only adequate agency available for this function. We are a nation under siege. They are using our children to destroy our country, destroy us. But we have a Lord who is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is in control. All things in heaven and earth exist for him and by him. He is in control, and he tells us that we are to run to this battle, to fight the good fight of faith, to get active and be his Christian soldiers. But first, he's asking you to what? Become a child of the kingdom. Become a new creature, spiritual body. And 2 Corinthians tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus told Nicodemus, we are to be born again. We are to be born spiritually. And to do that, to become a child of the kingdom, a child of God, we have to be born again. And to do that, we have to accept the offer that Jesus made on the cross. We are told we are to pray to the Father. We are to confess that we are a sinner and we need a Savior. And there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. We are to ask forgiveness of our sins, the sins that put Jesus on that cross at Calvary, ask to be forgiven, and then ask Jesus to become Lord of our life, all of our life. And we ask him to give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us. That's our down payment on eternal life. We now become a high priest. Our body becomes a holy temple. We have the indwelling of the living God within us. We become this new creature, a new creation, a spiritual being now. Joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. And our Father wants us to go out and testify and witness. He wants us to go and do all those things, be a doer of the word, a doer of the work, a doer of the law, to preach the gospel, to testify, give our testimony, to witness, to rebuke the world, reprove the world, exhort, expose the works of darkness, and save those being led astray, led to slaughter. That's what our Heavenly Father wants. He's giving us the ability to lay up some crowns and treasures in heaven. There's a battlefield out there, a spiritual battlefield. Our children are at risk. Our grandchildren, our whole nation is at risk. There is a battlefield, and it's waiting for soldiers to run to it. Fight that good fight of faith. Save souls. Are you willing to become a Christian soldier and join in this battle? I hope so. I hope you've enjoyed tonight. I'm hoping Pastor Ernie will be back with you tomorrow. And at this time of night, we generally say good night, and may God bless you one and all. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.